SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching this, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
And away we go, the best of every day, officially underway. It is a Thursday. It's the place to be. It's the Sports Grid Network, Moneyline, Sirius XM Channel 159. And we got a lot of topics to hit. Yes, we are going to continue to pound those two football games on Sunday. AFC, NFC Championship games, 3 p.m., 6:30 p.m., Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs in the second game, Philadelphia Eagles, and the Washington Commanders in game number one. We'll go over all the odds, anything changing there, any thoughts to go through it. Spent some time yesterday just going over, like, where I might attack, Kevin. Running backs, wide receivers, price points that we have. We'll get to that today. But there are some other topics that I want to ask Kevin about because I finally started to dip my toes into the college basketball scene.
Oh, yes.
Next week for me is really like my opening week because you get the excitement, the NFC and AFC championship games. Monday, you're still going to talk about it. But after that, you're in that holding pattern for the Super Bowl, the perfect week for you to say, you know what? Where are we at in college basketball? Now, the one thing I love is, there are websites out there that have accumulated enough data where you can jump right in and be like, ooh, this is fun again. So tonight, we'll go over a college basketball game or two that I actually like that I started sniffing around the chicken coop here and say, you know what? Now is almost the time to get ready. But I did want to ask Kevin this one, though. The Miami Heat, looking to trade Jimmy Butler. He's actively just sabotaging everything from their aspect. Not showing up on planes, not caring about the team, wants to be moved. We get that. So my point is not that they're going to move Jimmy Butler. My point to you is, Kevin, if you are the Suns, which apparently is the only team that will accept Jimmy Butler under any circumstances, why are you looking at giving three first-round draft picks, Bradley Beal, tons of this and tons of that? Why don't you tell the Heat, yeah, we'll take him. Now, I put out a tweet yesterday, we're going to give you a second-round pick because nobody wants him, and it's clearly you are just going to send him home where he can't even play for you. Why are you maximizing how much you can give to the Heat to get a Jimmy Butler?
It's a great point. Now, I will tell you, some of those picks are actually, I think, Donnie, to get off of the Bradley Beal contract. The Beal value appears to be less than zero still. I think the other reason is Phoenix is somehow more desperate than Miami. The Miami-Donnie situation is really unfortunate. It's really ugly. Right, I'm sure you saw the photo of the entire team huddled up, Jimmy sitting over four chairs down. I've always really liked Jimmy in Miami. I understand his frustration. I think the way that this is all playing out is, I mean, about as bad as any situation you've seen, and we've had Harden do it like four different times in the last 5 years, it feels like. Phoenix is more desperate. Don, if Miami doesn't win a title, nobody cares. If they don't make a deep run, nobody cares. Nobody expects them to, right? I care that they get over a 43.5 win total, I bet, right? That's about it. The sad part of it is I don't know if Jimmy being there does or doesn't even impact that win total based on how he's playing. Phoenix, though, Donnie, is having this horrific start to the year. They're super injured. Nurkic is supposed to be a key guy. They had to bench him. Beal's supposed to be a key guy. They had to bench him. The Rockets keep accumulating draft picks and sending out leaks. We'd love to trade for Durant, but we'd also love to trade for Devin Booker. And they're going to make those phone calls. And here's, I think, one of the reasons, Donnie, the Suns, people keep bashing the Suns for going all in on this roster. The Suns are going to have no problem getting draft picks back because the Houston Rockets will give the Suns anything they want this offseason for Durant or Booker. So I think Phoenix, Donnie, way more desperate than Miami to get a deal done. And it looks like Durant really wants Jimmy to come to Phoenix.
Like I was talking about, you know, on the early line, saying like, this is hilarious because everywhere Jimmy Butler goes, he burns the place down. So in a year or a year and a half, he's going to burn Phoenix down too, where he doesn't want to be there anymore. So when I'm just
100%.
I try to look at it like the Giants and Daniel Jones, where Daniel Jones' agent goes, you're going to pay up a lot. And what New York should have been like is, okay, we'd be happy to pay. Find us the deal. Come on back to us. And instead of doing that, Giants go, I believe you. $40 million, is that okay? Well, like, will he take $40 million? Yeah. Okay, he takes $40 million when nobody was going to give him anything. Like, Jimmy Butler is so hell-bent on getting to Phoenix, where Phoenix, like, we know he wants to be here. Mickey Arison and, you know, Pat Riley, I know we said we'd give you 2 to 3. You're going to take one first-round pick and like it. And it's a one in 2031 that we're going to put a, you know, lottery protected on you. And good luck with that, because it feels like that's what it has to do. But I thought that was relevant to bring it up, where you're so all in, you almost have to keep going all in with the Phoenix Suns at this point. And you have to realize, like, if it didn't work with, you know, other guys you're bringing in, Kevin Durant, everywhere, hey, look, I'm going to go to Brooklyn, it didn't work out. I'm going to go here, it didn't work out. Bradley Beal, who loved playing on an absolutely horrible basketball team, now was asked to actually win basketball games, and he can't stand the fact that he's going to win. So Bradley Beal going to Miami Heat and Heat culture, that'll be fun, where it's like, wait, I'm expected to win here as well. I thought I was going to Miami just to party. And does he wind up, Bradley Beal, though?
Yeah.
Like, is it Miami, or is he going to Milwaukee? Yeah.
So that's the best part of the Beal thing. Beal requests this straight out of Washington, and everybody forever assumes he's going to go to Miami, right? Miami doesn't really go all in because they're waiting on Damian Lillard. Phoenix swoops in. That's where Beal ends up. Beal still has this ridiculous no-trade clause, and everything doesn't work out. If Beal Donnie didn't have that no-trade clause, the deal would have been done weeks ago. They cannot figure out where to send Bradley Beal. Like, everything that you're saying about Jimmy is valid, but Phoenix is so desperate, Miami's luckily not in that bad of a spot. But everybody else around the league, Donnie, isn't that desperate. And Beal, I don't even know what he wants. I truly don't even know what Beal wants, where Phoenix is like, okay, we figured out how to get Jimmy. Now we have to figure out how to get rid of Bradley Beal. It's a crazy situation. Crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's just the NBA full turns here. As now we finally start to click over and say, all right, not heading down the backstretch, but we're halfway through the NBA season. Who's rising up? You saw last night, SGA just putting the pipes down yesterday for 50-plus points as a guy that now looks, I'm going to get your opinion on this. The MVP is over with so many games left and chances to get injured and jobs can get taken away and other guys can play well. It's over. It's SGA's, it looks like, according to the sports book.
So what did they post his number at? Minus 300?
Like they said.
Whoa.
650, somebody said. Let me see. Hold on. Let me do my due diligence here. Let's see. Division, season awards. Shea is 600 right now as we speak on FanDuel.
All right. That's a crazy number. However, the only way he doesn't win is injury. Because the only other player you can make an argument for, Donnie, is Jokic. And we're not really doing that again. You look around the NBA. Tatum's not an MVP-level player. I know that bothers Celtics fans. He's just not. Luka, injured. The Cavs don't have a single guy who belongs in that conversation. I'm pretty sure every other team in the West is underachieving outside of the Rockets and Clippers, right? Like, that's where we are in the NBA right now. So, yeah, Donnie, it's a major runaway, because the only person who's in the conversation with Shea, we are finally, it looks like, ready to stop giving him MVPs.
Yeah, like Jokic needs to be, what, 20, 20, and 20 the rest of the way? Like, maybe we'll give him a chance if he's hitting 20 legitimately, doubles and 20 rebounds.
The dude was flirting with a 30, 15, and 10, and it's like, yeah, man, it's all good. You got enough of him. Move on.
Exactly.
All right?
Yes.
It's the
only way it is injury. Giannis 100-1, which is, it's, we're not talking, this is, these are the numbers usually pop up, Kevin, with 4 games left to play. It's popping up with like roughly 40 games, you know, in that range of being left to play. So it's crazy talk. Good to get some NBA action out there and some fun there, but we got to flip it back over. The NFL, big doings this weekend, excitement all the way around, and the Sports Grid Network's certainly going to have you covered, which includes Sunday. Make sure they're bright and early as the boys get rolling on Pro Football Today. But we will be back to talk about those games and make sure we're setting ourselves up for profitability right here on the Switch Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In the mix, baby, right here. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie. It's Kevin. It's what we do. Nice little hour of your day. Get situated. Set yourself up for the weekend. And I love this. Like, my two favorite football weekends of the year are the divisional round and the NFC-AFC championship. But what about the Super Bowl? It's 2 weeks off. You know, it's a lot of hype. It's a lot of pomp and circumstance. You wait for it, and then you realize football season is over. What are you saying? Go. What do you got?
Yeah, I have a question for you on that. Did you see the Ohio State Notre Dame rating number came out?
They mentioned it this morning. Go ahead and we'll talk. What was it and what is it?
So it depends how you want to look at it. It was the highest rated non-NFL game, right, of this season. Watched by, you know, over 22 million people. It was also the second least viewed national championship game since COVID. With only Georgia and TCU worse. When you consider it's Ohio State, Notre Dame, that feels very disappointing.
It does.
And I don't think it is inaccurate to say that playing the weekend after the divisional round took a lot of steam out of the sails of Ohio State, Notre Dame, and I'm wondering what you make of it.
Yes, I think you nailed it, because when Notre Dame is involved, now I like to play the opposite. Like, Notre Dame's lost its luster, get them off NBC, don't ever have them get their way anymore, make them join a conference. I like to play that angle. But I do think you're right, because you had a blue blood in Ohio State, which has a big following and a fan base, and Notre Dame probably the biggest, like the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL, where they're a lightning rod. You either love them or you hate them, but you're going to watch them. That's typically what happens. But you're right about this. And from a handicapping standpoint, where let's just say you have no team affinity in the NFL left playoffs. Okay, you watch it through, you bet it, and it was fun. Like, for me, I was so exhausted by the time that Rams game ended on Sunday that I remember waking up like the next morning going like, oh, wow, that's right. There's a title game on. Now, granted, I bet it. I tuned in for the most part, watched it up until I fell asleep, and I was excited for it. But there is something to be said about they have a chance where they can – pick their poison, if you will. They're not going to go Saturday night heads up with an NFL playoff game or Sunday. But I do think, Kevin, they can make it work where I know it's like, hey, it's a long season. That following weekend where you might be able to say, all right, if we include a little bit more teams in here and we can push it through to the middle between Super Bowl week and NFC-AFC championship and put it on a Saturday night, I think it will be a bonanza. But it's such a long season at that point, but you're right about it. I don't know if it's better, Kevin, where you're – instead of being the dessert, be the appetizer. Like, everybody that sits down to the table, like, you go out to the restaurant, starving, man. This is the best bread I ever had in my life. And what's the question at the end of the meal? Do you have room for dessert? Yeah. I'll have a piece of pie. I'll have some ice cream. But you're not as excited as when you got there just to eat. So using that theory, is it better to say, okay, forget Monday night. Let's go Thursday night. Let's go Friday night the week before that. I think there is some merit to that as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that I agree the position needs to move. However, Donnie, the further they go back, the worse it's going to be. I think this is if they see that rating as a problem, there's the potential that they do cancel the conference championship games. Because then you can move everything up, Donnie, and you don't have to run into this situation. It is so avoidable, and there is no reason to not make that maneuver, right? You will then put yourself in a much better situation, because as we used to debate the value of a conference championship, there's no debating anymore. They don't mean anything. I'm not trying to be rude. They mean absolutely nothing. Does anybody think Oregon had a successful season this year, or Penn State for making that football game, or the Georgia Bulldogs who won the SEC championship? Does anybody think Georgia had a successful season this year? No. No way. So this is an instance to me, Nani, where, and look, ultimately, it was still super viewed. But I'm a Notre Dame fan, and I spent the whole day arguing about how good Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni are. You know? It's just the, you know, and Donnie, you know how critical I've been of the NFL this year, right? But playoff football is a different level, and I think we've seen that kind of play out in January.
Now, can you squeeze, like, let's just say you don't want to get Thursday or Friday, can you do a national championship game Saturday at 1 o'clock before the NFL games start?
Yeah.
Because you're going to get good ratings, and you can sell that. Well, you can't get good ratings. Well, the NFL plays 1 o'clock playoff games on Sunday. Like, you can get monster ratings in that figure.
But let me look at something quickly, Donnie, because I think, can't they just pretty simply have this play out where they could go on a Friday, right? Like, the first set of games was on the 20th. So if they went on the 14th for round one, right? Yeah. Round two on the 21st, round three that 28th, and then they play on Friday, January 3rd, right before week 18, or you want to give off 2 weeks and play on the 10th? Like,
yeah.
By the way, they took their time because they went with the NFL approach of like, oh, get us on New Year's. Things were on Tuesdays, Saturdays, Thursdays, Mondays.
Correct.
Like, it was all over the place with these games.
Yes. It's a good point you bring up too, because there is too much dead time where it's like, well, the Rose Bowl says they got to play at 5 o'clock. You don't need that anymore. Like, again, have the Rose Bowl with two MAC teams in if they want to have the Rose Bowl. Like, forget about that. Like, we're looking to get an advance. You don't need 9 and 10 games between these games. 7, 7, 7, 7, keep it going, and you can rack it. The college football playoff to me was awesome, but there are some tweaks that you can have. But I was surprised when I saw that actual rating point to be like, man, two big franchises. But then when I always try to say to myself, Kevin, let me put in the common sports fan, which technically usually is me, I wasn't all that excited for that game. Now, was it because it was an 8.5-point line and Ohio State was going to crush them? Would have been different if it was Alabama, Ohio State with a 1-point line and people were like yelling and screaming back and forth. But that game, I thought, would have had higher ratings than what we got out of it. But sometimes it's just cyclical. Maybe it's bigger next year at this point. The end results I thought were fantastic. You got Ohio State as a champion where nobody's like, ah, man, TCU could have beat them or something nonsense. Or why didn't you put Miami in the playoff? Like, no, Ohio State was the deserved champion, had a great run, whipped it all the way through, and it is what it is. So it's good talk there. Ratings are still big, not big enough, but there will be big ratings for these two football games on Sunday, and primarily that game at 6:30 with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, it looks like, going at it. We'll talk about those games and much more next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline action right here on a Thursday afternoon. The place to be on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Lines, people, lines. Maybe you're on your lunch break right now. Maybe you're headed to your lunch break. Maybe you're working out there. Maybe you just have us on in the radio in the car. Philadelphia Eagles, and that line opened up 4.5 at FanDuel earlier this week. It's 6.5 now today. Yesterday, we did get the first indication of who's practicing, who's banged up, who's injured. It looks like just about everybody on track to play. Estimated report out of Philadelphia, it was a walkthrough, limited for Jalen Hurts, limited for Quinyon Mitchell. A couple guys sat and rested, like Dallas Goedert on the ankle. And then the same thing with the Washington Commanders, Bobby Wagner, Zaccheaus. You get the point here. So these two teams are on a collision course to be healthy on Sunday. This morning, Kevin, Tom Vecchio was on with myself and Ben Stevens on the early line. We started looking at Saquon numbers. Rushing prop carries, 24.5. Unbelievable in this day's day and age in the NFL. Yardage at FanDuel, 125.5, as high as 128.5 at some outlets for his rushing yards. Receiving, 12.5 yards, give or take. You're looking for one or two catches there. His touchdown prop, -250. So I'm going to ask you this question, the same I asked Tom Vecchio. Are there any numbers with Saquon Barkley that you are looking to play this weekend?
It's so tough, DRS, because if I say, hey, I'm going to play his longest run, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that was my best bet last week. And honestly, I should have just, you know, quintupled the amount and just left it alone at that. And the number's much higher against Washington. And Washington does give up explosive runs. But gets to 23.5. I mean, it's a huge number. Then you look at the yardage, and he absolutely should be able to get through it. I'm not kidding. But do you really want to start at that level? Not really. And then you get the attempts. And, you know, that's obviously a huge asking price. And I think that's why sometimes people will pivot to the, you know, receiving game, because it's like, wow, at least that's a little bit lower. I don't know. It's very tough for me because I feel like Saquon should be on the card, right? I think at this moment, his attempts would be the most interesting number, because listen, like, oh, he busts one for 50. Well, so be it, right? And he busts one for 50. But I think that would be the more interesting number. That, or maybe Donnie just like pregame playing him for 175, 180. Because he really should have 175 in both of these games.
Which is so crazy to think about. But also, there are extenuating circumstances that you take a look at. When the Eagles had that dilemma on the final game of the season, should we play Saquon or not? And it might take 25 carries in that game to get him through. Nobody's saying he would get injured in that game, guaranteed. Is there a chance? Yeah, it's football. Anybody can get hurt. Mm-hmm. But the thought process behind the Philadelphia Eagles was, we haven't had a bye week since months earlier in September. We're going to give you a break here because we are going to ride you through this playoff run. Used him a ton against Green Bay. Used him a ton last week against the Rams. And now you're in that position again, Kevin, to say, you know what, Saquon? Sure, we risk injury at any time we run you more than 10 times. And quite frankly, running 10 times, you can just get nicked up or injured in the first quarter. We can actually run you 30 times in this game. You don't even play next week. You get a whole week off before you get to the Super Bowl. So when I start to look at some of those extra credit numbers, like Kenneth Gainwell, he needed one carry to get his number last week, 9.5 yards. You might look at this and be like, there's no way they can give Saquon 25 or 26 carries. But teams are smart enough to understand is, yes, he had a heavy workload last week. Well, I've had a heavy one this week, but the week off says, you know what? I think we can squeeze out an extra carry or two when typically he would come off the field.
Like the crazy bet to make, and as I'm looking at it more, and I won't do this, would be like his first quarter under 28.5. Just because he's usually dominating more as the game goes on than when the game begins. But even that feels like a dumb bet when he hits the 35-yarder. Like, you know what bet would be interesting, and they don't post this? But Saquon for 2+ runs of 20+ yards. Like, that would be, you know what I mean? Because that actually would be a legitimate payout.
Yeah.
But they don't offer things of that nature there. But that's what makes that game so tough to bet. Where the Eagles are the best rush offense the NFL has potentially ever seen. But then, like, okay, so what? I'm supposed to bet A.J. Brown just because those are the vulnerable numbers? Or, it's a tough spot, DRS.
Like some of those shotgun bets on, like, FanDuel, like Jalen Hurts carry on the first drive, if they have something like that, or Jalen Hurts yardage in the first quarter. I do think he has to show, even if he doesn't want to run the whole game, you're going to worry about me. I'm not going to surprise you in the third quarter at this point. So something to keep an eye on. But we'll take a look at the rest of the prop bets here in that Eagles-Commanders game. Also, some of the Commanders props. Very interesting. We'll find out next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Expectations for this Eagles-Commanders game. Big expectations, Kevin. What if I would have told you the FanDuel Sportsbook is telling you that 70% of their tickets are on the Commanders?
Yeah.
With a line they opened up at 4.5 that now sits at 6.5. What's your thoughts on that? Public loves Washington in this game.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. The funny thing is, if Devonta Smith catches that football, and they beat Washington.
Correct.
The narrative would actually be that the Eagles are Jaden Daniels' kryptonite. It would be that his worst career game was in Philadelphia. And instead, everybody focuses on the fourth quarter drive. Great drive. never should have had the chance to have the drive. But that's one of those things, just when you dive into it a little bit more. And I think this is what has made the Eagles being my Super Bowl pick and my favorite team easy on me, because on a given year, the two teams that I will pay the most attention to are the Eagles and my Super Bowl pick. So you're not going to like kind of catch me slipping on anything relative to the Eagles. And some of those like lazy narratives where I hear people, I'm like, what are you, huh? Like, I don't really know what you're talking about. Like with the Eagles there, Donnie, again, like you just hear all this stuff. And again, like you hear all this stuff about Jaden. Jaden's had a great season. He's had an all-time great rookie season. But there's a lot of other stuff that's being lost in that conversation.
How do we play the quarterbacks here? Because we don't know how effective Hurts will be. Just understanding how the NFL works. They made him available to the press yesterday. They wouldn't do that if there was like, hey, man, like we don't need you saying the wrong things here. We got to get you, you know, as much physical therapy as we can get you here, keep you away from the light. Because you can do that when a player is injured at that point. Answer the questions, ask them specifically. And again, he's not going to tell you no. Like, hey, by the way, you on track to play Sunday? Yeah, I don't think I am, but here I am answering questions. He's going to play. But also, as I was telling the people yesterday doing a solo show, I missed out on a Jalen Hurts number. Now, it's not so far gone where I can't come back to it. We're going to include Jaden Daniels in this. But you had 179, 180, 180. These are the numbers, the passing props from Jalen Hurts, and a 174 out there. And I said, ooh, that 174 is an outlier. I said, you know what? Do I want to be smart? Because sometimes I like to fire early in the week just to get the best possible number and let it settle. Or do I want to take an extra like day or two to think about it? That number was gone 4 hours later from what it was in the morning till gone. Now they're all around 179, 180 numbers. Jaden Daniels is 220 and a half to 225 and a half, depending where you're shopping, passing yardage in this game. If you did have a take a quarterback, because if you look just at the numbers for Jalen Hurts, they're not asking him to throw the football, but circumstances understand what's going on. I do think Washington will move the football, but I also think Washington's defense isn't nearly as good as the Rams' pass rush in a snow rush. In a snow game, I should say, and also the Packers' overall defense. There will be chances to throw the football, make plays. Like, I really like Jalen Hurts in that game. I haven't fired on the total because that sort of, I could have had the 174, now it's 6 yards higher. I don't want to take it because I missed out the best of the number. Dumb as me. But Jaden Daniels at 220, let's just say. Is there a quarterback you're looking at to play passing-wise in this round?
So the Jalen Hurts number that I would like to play would be his longest completion over. Hurts, even when he wasn't throwing for big yardage, would typically be able to get through that number. However, I also did take one of the more ridiculous losses this year on that bet. Because the game he threw for 290 against Pittsburgh, he didn't have a completion of even 25 yards. Yeah. So Hurts' long completion, I was getting texts the other day from someone, DRS, who was looking at Hurts for like 20 completions. You know, just trying to climb the ladder a little bit, whatever it might be.
Yes.
He's only completed 20 passes once, and it was the game against Pittsburgh since the bye week. Correct. I mean, you know, this is the thing, and again, like, people are not really able to talk about the Eagles with any type of clarity, where they're like, what's wrong with the pass offense? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. They're the best rush attack in the NFL, literally maybe ever. Donnie, that's not hyperbole. They very well could be the greatest rushing team in the history of the league. If they make the Super Bowl, they will probably finish with the most single-season, regular and postseason rushing yards in NFL history. They have a Hall of Famer at right tackle, an All-Pro at left tackle, and Pro Bowlers on probably the three interior spots. They have one of the five most mobile quarterbacks in the NFL, and a guy who just ran for 2,000 and is one of the best running backs in football and is going to win Offensive Player of the Year. That's what the Philadelphia Eagles have. And people are obsessing over the pass offense. That, like, I understand if it's a part of the conversation, right? But it is dominating the conversation. You show me anywhere from these other clown shows where they mention how good the Eagles' run game is. They act like it's a crutch. They call, what are we talking about? People go, hey, you know what? What if they load the box? Good. That's what the Rams did stupidly twice. And Saquon then breaks him for 70. What are you talking about? Do you think these teams are dropping in the dime?
What happens on Sunday, though? There's somebody on the desk saying that they're going to load the box, stop Saquon. Somebody's going to say that on Sunday, I feel.
Listen, I love him. He knows I love him. It's going to be a long 3 hours. It is. But I think I'm going to attack it from a different angle, hopefully.
Yeah.
Where I say this trying to be self-aware.
Yes.
We are better off if I get under his skin than the reverse.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I'm going to flip out. And I know I am. I know
how I am.
He's
going to have that little smile on his face. What?
Yeah. So it's better off, right? If he's like, yeah, okay. Then if I'm like, let me tell you, and I start screaming at him. And then at that point, I've seen where your face is like, yeah, Beyonce, I think Hurts throws the football a little bit in this game. All right, let's move off this, man. This guy's losing it over.
Rocking and rolling. It is going to be good. Some of the receiving props in this game, legitimate wideouts, like Deami Brown, 44.5. Jamison Crowder, too low. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Did you see McLaurin's favored to lead the playoffs in receiving yards?
I did see that. 64.5 in this game to 65.5.
Isn't that crazy, though? Like a guy who's not supposed to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But like,
because everybody else isn't really doing much.
Yeah.
Including the Eagles.
Right.
Yeah. And the like, Chiefs wideouts.
Well, like Bills wideouts. Kelsey's not even in the top 10, but they only played one game.
Yes. Correct.
Like, it's pretty crazy.
Zach Ertz. By the way, if we are predicting like Sunday on the desk, is Zach Ertz too much now, like out there for Lisi to fire on?
No,
because he loves like who is his guy though? Is that his guy for that game?
I mean,
Zach Ertz?
Probably because he bet him last time and he made him money, so he'll just keep going off that. Like he bet him against the Eagles, I think last time.
So it just has to roll it over.
The question becomes though: did Jaden Daniels throw for so many yards? Does he have to revert to the rush?
Yeah,
you know,
Ryan, yeah, exactly. Or is he just gonna stack up and say he loves a little?
You know,
Dallas Goedert in this game.
I don't want to splash the pot, but he also might have already found his sell me something. He's lost his mind. I'll tell you probably in a break because I don't want to. You got to tune in on Sunday for the goods. But he's crazy, man. He's having fun.
Joe Lisi. By the way, chat box editor Austin Thompson. Jalen was coached by Saban. He's a pro in the press, which means, yes, he always answers the questions the way they're supposed to be answered, doesn't give you very much more. But then Drew Epling comes in and says, Bama fan here. Hurts will never win you a Super Bowl, Kevin. Mm.
Didn't you win a national championship with Jalen Hurts on your roster? I don't understand why people say you never win a Super Bowl with Hurts when he's like he didn't already play in a Super Bowl
and
was
well
phenomenal.
Correct.
Like, I don't understand.
You got to get over the hump, man. You got to get over the hump, which we're going to go over like points in this game. 47.5, good one. We'll hit the Buffalo Bills, which is also 47.5. Or if Sunday cannot get here fast enough. That's what we do on the Sports Network. This is Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin. We'll be right back after this short clip.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Two games Sunday. Let's just give the quick updates here, Kevin, as we get them hour to hour on what we're anticipating for both of these games. The Philadelphia Eagles game, wind did creep up slightly, Kevin. And when I mean slightly, it's like 9 miles an hour to 11 miles an hour. Not big there. Still no precipitation. The forecast right around 40 degrees. No issues there in Philadelphia. We go to Kansas City and Buffalo, which again is in Kansas City. Kickoff around 30 degrees, dips into the high 20s at night. No precipitation, and Kevin, winds 2.5 miles per hour. Like, you can't get two better conditioned games for late January where they're being played. No domes, right? So that works out. Now, both of these games, 47.5. If I gave you one bet on each one of these games, which 47.5 are you betting over or under?
I would be betting Kansas City and Buffalo over. I expect Buffalo's offense to play very, very well. And no matter what, you know, conversations we've had around KC, they are a very difficult team to blow out. And they are at home. and, you know, goodness forbid they actually play well on offense. You know, let's not act like just because I've said they've been playing poorly on offense all year doesn't mean they're incapable of having a good effort, right? You can always turn it on to some degree. And I like, Nick Foles went out there and had two brilliant games, right? So I expect Mahomes to be capable of some level of he better be, right? I mean, otherwise we're going to have some very interesting conversations then. I would look at that game over the 47 and a half.
And it's funny, because again, we have amped up this anytime you can get a chance. And I've told these stories multiple times, how much fun it is for, even if you're not even at the game, but to root for your team as if you're in the building during a home game of these magnitudes. The one thing that's interesting is like the Eagles, because when I went in 2002, which is actually January of 2003 for the NFC title game, it's my first title game. Eagles made it the previous year, but it was in St. Louis. But when I look at like getting a home game, like the Eagles hadn't had a home NFC championship game, Kevin, since 1980. And then it was 2002. Like once every 20 years, it's like, well, that's really interesting. And hopefully we can get back there. Now the Eagles then went to the NFC championship game in 03 at home and lost, 04 at home and won. Then it took them, I think, to 08, where it was on the road against the Arizona Cardinals, which they lost. Then they went roughly, what, a decade before having a home NFC title game where they took on the Minnesota Vikings and beat them. And then they had another one, what, 4 or 5 years later when they had the San Francisco 49ers at home. And here we are again at home. It's really like a rare occurrence that you have. But like Kansas City, I understand, like, same thing like New England Patriots. And I get their big games and you have fun, but ever, like 7 straight years in an AFC championship game. It's like, I know you still cheer the regular season, but is there any more like, hey, we're going back to the Super Bowl again? And, well, I bought tickets to the Super Bowl 4 straight years and I'm going back. It's crazy to think about how much Kansas City has won. And then here they are in the AFC championship game, favored by 1.5 and expected to go back again to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think the big thing for Kansas City and the reason why they have that excitement is, you know, one of the Chiefs' targets is the New England Patriots and their dynasty, especially because of their run-ins with Tom. Tom eliminated them, you know, the first season, right, in overtime, and, you know, and went on to win a Super Bowl.
Loss, by the way, in that one. You remember that game, how that one played out?
I remember the point.
Offside. Oh,
Right.
Andy Reid, Andy Reid usually doesn't get hot. He took that podium after the game. Was like, understand this: you want to call them off sides by a fraction of an inch. Every referee comes to me that before that play starts and goes, next time he's in there, I'm calling the flag. They didn't give him that. They didn't give him that respect. Oh, yeah. He was hot in that post game presser.
Yeah. So that's one of the reasons. And then the worst game of this entire Kansas City run came against Tom in Tampa in that Super Bowl, right? And especially they played, I'm sure you remember, earlier the regular season that year, Donnie, Tyreek Hill had like 3 touchdowns in the first half, like Randy Moss style. So that was such a stunning result to that degree. And so they're chasing that group, and what they would be able to have over that group is the three-peat, right? And that's such a big thing that they're trying to chase. What's incredible, though, is if Kansas City loses to Buffalo, those fans will look at the Bills as the team that cost them not only a three-peat, because Kansas City will convince themselves they would have beaten the NFC winner no matter how the Super Bowl plays out, but also an unbeaten season. You know, that is something that, because Kansas City has not been dominant in their game-to-game efforts, we do gloss over that had they beaten Buffalo, they would have been going for an unbeaten season heading into Week 18. Like, the Bills have been their roadblock once this season. Can they do it again?
When I look at this game, too, because I've had the stance, I'm going to take it all the way through Sunday. I will be rooting for the Buffalo Bills. I will not have any bet anywhere near the Bills winning that game. It would be Chiefs, -1.5 for nothing. You've seen it way too many times. And I don't care if you could even say, like, well, theoretically, I'd probably take Josh Allen over Patrick Mahomes right now in these circumstances. But I wouldn't take the whole home field advantage away, where I do think Buffalo has a chance to. Of course I do. It's 1.5. Of course we think that. 70% of the tickets coming in on the Buffalo Bills. It's just hard for me to get around where if this game, Kevin, even was 3.5, you're like, okay. you know this game's probably going to slugfest, give me the 3.5 points. It's hard to say, like, you know, my old adage, like, well, I don't think Buffalo wins, but I think they can cover the 1.5. Like, it's going to be a 1-point game all the way through.
Do you, though, have an interest in a team total on in any of these games, maybe?
It's a good point. It's a good point you bring up, because today is my day I want to formulate, because the practice results will come out from, you know, full practices and you get a better feel. I'm expecting everybody to play. I'm glad you brought that up, because on the early line, we, you know, bring up just about every bet and which way you can bet it and stuff like that. And the one caption is the team total on the Buffalo Bills at 23.5. And I say, I think there's a chance this game goes over 47 and maybe into the 50s, let's say. But you look at the Buffalo Bills MO, who holds them in the teens? Nobody. Like, they have a string, Kevin, of this, like, okay, they scored 23 in this game, 35, 35, 35, 40, 40, 35, 35, 40. That's what they do. They score. So if I was looking for a team total, it actually wouldn't be Kansas City. It would be the Buffalo Bills, which we're going to bring that up next. We've got one more segment to go. But I think this game is so intriguing the way I think it should play out and how much we can maximize props, totals, and whatnot the way I think it happens. We'll talk about that more. It's right here. It's a Thursday. It feels like a football Friday, but it's not. It's just how excited we are. It's Moneyline. It's Sonny and Kevin. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Load them up, people. Just talking about that Buffalo-Kansas City total 47.5 and saying to myself, as Kevin asked, what's a bet you would like maybe a team total? I do look towards the Buffalo Bills in that mid-23s because I say to myself, Kansas City is that one football team that gets away with a lot because they have a really good defense. They can make the plays on offense when they need to, but the joke is, oh, we got up 7-0? All right, Kevin, that buys us 4 possessions where we don't actually have to do anything until we might find ourselves losing, and then we got to go score. Like, I want this game to happen. Kansas City wins the toss. They defer. Buffalo goes 5 plays, 82 yards, and punches it in. And I will stand in my living room like, oh, we got a heavyweight fight here. Because that now goes to Andy Reid like, maybe we can't just give it to Pacheco for 2 yards and Kareem Hunt for 3 yards and 3rd and 2, run around and hope for if somebody holds a wide receiver and we get an extra 5 yards for a first down. I need that. So I do think the Buffalo Bills can move the football in Kansas City's defense, which then will engage Kansas City on offense. Like, if I'm looking at totals, you sit down and give me one of these games to take a total over, I'm actually going Buffalo, Kansas City. That's where I would go with the over as opposed to the under.
I am just going to be honest with you, DRS, okay? Mm-hmm. Not in a rude way. I didn't really hear what you said there. Did you see the Cowboys are actually going to hire Brian Schottenheimer to be their head coach?
No. Wait a second. Why didn't this update on my...
Because I got, like, the Bleacher Report update that, like, the Dallas Star, Clarence Hill... apparently has the report. I've seen the name before. You know, I mean, you're talking about, you know,
what's
over
my timeline behind that? Let me see, Jason.
80,000 followers. Pro Football Talk picked it up.
I'm glad you said that because now I'm scrolling through. But I don't, like, usually I always have it up and see it, but
yeah,
I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, I'm back.
Oh, like, maybe, it didn't hit from a Schefter Rappaport yet, but.
Yeah.
Like, this can't be serious, man. Like, this cannot be serious. I'm 15
minutes back on my timeline with the guys I follow.
The one thing
that caught me off guard with that, Kevin, is we talked about this morning. We were laughing, like, you know, giving our opinions. And I, like, it's like, well, why would he be back for a second interview when he's in house? Like, usually it's just like, look, show your respect, come in here, 2-hour interview. Thanks. Love to get your input. We don't get to hear it too much. And away you go. And then the joke for me was, well, it's, you know, if you bring him back for a second one, it's just because Jerry, like nice steakhouse downtown, is like, look, I bring you with me. That's a tax write-off. Like, I pay $5,000 at this meal. I send it to my accountant. Like, yeah, we interviewed a guy, and that's a business expense, as opposed to him just going out by himself and his family. But that is interesting. But I don't see it anywhere on my timeline.
Yeah, that is...
What's read the tweet. Read the tweet for the people, then.
Yeah, you got it. Hold on. Clarence Hill Jr. Tweets, look for the Cowboys to cross the finish line on hiring Brian Schottenheimer. No later than Friday, possibly today.
Now, I hear that and I go, fantastic.
Donnie,
Kellen Moore's back, Billy.
I really wish that people could see, because not everybody's watching, your genuine reaction there of laughter and glee when I just read that tweet to you explains everything you need to know about this hire.
Wow, what a disaster.
And again, the fans know, like when they hired Mike McCarthy, there wasn't a single fan for the Cowboys or around the league that's like, damn it, the Cowboys are back. So good.
But how about this, level, Donnie, right? Mm-hmm. If Mike McCarthy does not get that Saints job,
yes.
I mean, is he the biggest like buffoon in the history of sports?
Yeah. Like, what did he actually, to be honest, like, we actually thought the longer it stayed out there and from we were getting read from the team, the players themselves and the organization was like, you know what? He's probably coming back. Did McCarthy go good? 5 years, highest paid in the NFL, and I want full control of the pay. Like, what did he actually ask for that ruined it? Where it would be like, you know what? You're not the guy, but Schottenheimer's the guy now.
That's the incredible thing. Like, is Jerry more so just trying to keep the pockets tight? He's like, ah, Schott, he's a pretty... Yeah. Also, what happened to Dion? Like, what's going on here?
Like, this that's is like, insane. The opening press conference, like, somebody just stands up right away. It's like, you hired this guy over Dion? Or let's just say a Ben... Like, trust me on this. Like, if Jerry made it known that he wanted Ben Johnson, there would have been a hard way. Like, I don't care how much Ben Johnson said he wanted Chicago. But if you wanted Ben Johnson, like, look, I'm going to pay you more than anybody else. You're going to be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. You know I don't technically, like, fire coaches immediately. You're going to get a long leash here, and let's see if we can win something. Because you know I'm going to give you as many tools as possible to win this thing. And he never reached out to anybody. Nobody.
This is insane. This is so crazy.
I got to see that play
out. This is so bad.
Played out right here on a Thursday,
Mike
people.
McCarthy.
Yeah. Let's go. Maybe brings back McCarthy as his offensive coordinator. Matt's thinking for Schottenheimer. Keep the boys in play. In play. Chris Brown, the Wheels of Steel, Donnie right side here. And Kevin Walsh, tomorrow's a Football Friday. You better not miss out, people. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.